Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
There's been a new study done in Trinity College to show that commuting reduces our productivity. And Vlad Rifkin is one of the people involved in the study. He's on the line to tell us all about it. Vlad, good morning.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Yeah, pleasure. So I suppose in a lot of ways you would kind of think that, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, that the commute is something that sucks and sitting in traffic isn't great going in to work and going out of work. But I suppose the fact that it actually can be measured to reduce our productivity is definitely some news.
Yeah, indeed. So for most people, it may seem obvious. But in our research, we dug a little bit deeper into that to understand why the commute is actually harmful. And what we looked at are the psychological mechanisms that can explain the harmful effects of the commute for productivity. And what we found essentially is that the commute drains your psychological energy, which in turn prevents you from immersive motivation at work. And so... In a sense, the commute or a negative commute puts you up for an unproductive workday, which I think is quite fascinating.
Yeah. So when you say a negative commute, does that mean that on the flip side, there could be a positive or indeed a neutral commute? So is a negative commute when something actually out of the ordinary and negative happens, or is just every commute negative?
No, not every commute is necessarily negative. So we are talking about negative events throughout the commute. So being stuck in traffic, experiencing delays on public transport, having other people driving aggressively and having to adapt to them, or having to arrange your plans around being delayed for a meeting due to the commute.
Okay, so by expending that psychological energy in, as you said, adapting to whatever the situation is, that means that by the time we get into the work environment, we've already kind of used a lot of our brain power at that point.
Exactly. We used our brain power, but to engage in immersive motivation at work, we need this brain power. And the issue with that is we can't enter states at work that we refer to as flow experiences. So these are very, very pleasant psychological experiences of immersing into work. So imagine a situation where time passes by very quickly, where you don't notice time passing. These are the experiences which help us to be productive at work, because they can basically recover or regain our energy. And these pleasant states are prevented or harmed by the aversive morning commute.
Right. So if you're in a situation where you can't avoid a commute, for example, if you are going back to work in an office after a year, or if it's just part of your job and the commute is a reality for you, are there things you can do to try and combat the negative effects of the commute on your productivity?
Yes, there actually are. So we looked at what organizations can do to help their employees cope with these commuting events. Because obviously, if and when we return to work, the commute may be impacted. For example, people may have to wear masks during the commute, which makes it even more unpleasant. Or people may consider social distancing rules and then turn to the car, which creates traffic jams. So the question, as you rightly asked, is what can organizations do to prevent the harmful consequences of such commutes? And one thing they can do is basically to look at demands. And there are demands which we refer to as self-control demands. So these are demands which require us at work to self-regulate, to control our impulses, to control our emotions. So these are things like dealing with a difficult customer, having an important presentation, or joining a difficult or challenging meeting. And people should avoid these demands, especially after an aversive morning commute, because obviously these demands drain our energy further and make things even worse than they have already been through the commute.
Okay, so the idea would be then that if you have, you know, scheduled a call with, as you said, a difficult customer, or if you've got an important meeting, that if you can push that somewhere, you know, into the second half of the day after lunch, maybe, where you've already managed to readjust into the work mode and had some of those good flow moments you talk about, but keep it away from where the commute was.
Exactly. So essentially, all the challenging demands should be kept away from or should be put as far away as possible from the morning commute. The other thing we looked at is what we call basic need satisfaction. So in psychology, we look at satisfaction of certain needs, which make our activities very pleasant. And these are the needs for autonomy, competence, and relatedness. Mm-hmm. And if these needs are satisfied, this also reduces the harmful impact of the morning commute. And what we say in our study essentially is that this is the manager's responsibility to basically consider their employees' needs and to satisfy these needs by, for example, giving people the autonomy to deal with tasks in the way that they prefer, developing employees' competencies at work, and creating a sense of community amongst teams. And satisfying these three needs basically can give you back the energy you lost throughout the commute, and in essence, prevent the harmful effects.
Right. It's Dermot and Davis. Today FM, we're talking to Vlad Rifkin, Associate Professor in Organizational Behavior at the Trinity Business School. Vlad, I wonder, is there a slight counter-argument here in that the commute can also provide you with a time to wind up and wind down? And certainly I know from talking to people who would have worked in here, for example, in Today FM, who now work from home, they talk about the fact that they get up in the morning and the computer is at the kitchen table or whatever, and they kind of check their Twitter feeds and their sports stuff and their news and whatever while they're having their breakfast. Excuse me. And then they sit down at that kitchen table and do a day's work, which has a kind of an indefinite end to it. There's never really a, oh, it's 5 o'clock, the Hooter goes and we're finished. And then they go, right, well, I'll just lift the computer over onto the, you know, the coffee table, and I'll watch something on Netflix. And then it's 10 o'clock and all I've done is really sit in the one place and do the one thing. So they're missing the commute. Is there a positive side to the commute?
Yes, there is. So essentially, our research looked at one side of the commute. There is other research which, for example, shows that the commute can be a way to transition between roles. So when we work, we basically occupy a work role, whereas when we are at home, if we are parents, if we are sons, children, whatever, we are essentially occupying a home role, and the commute basically helps with that transition. Mm. So basically, people adapted to the necessity of the commute by making it pleasant, and essentially having a commute can help with this transition. But on the other hand, other things could as well. So for example, there are videos on YouTube or memes on Twitter where people simulate their commute on a morning basis. So basically, to have this role transition, you don't necessarily need to have a morning commute. So you can walk around the block, you can change your environment in terms of going to a dedicated workplace, which helps you basically transition in the morning from your home role to your work role, but also vice versa, from your work role to your home role in the evening.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense, in fairness. Vlad Rifkin, Associate Professor in Organizational Behavior at Trinity Business School, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting
me. Cheers, Vlad. Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave, listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.